Osho, this, a thousand times this, the very essence of Zen. Talks given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 6.
Beloved Bhagwan, in ancient times, there were 16 bodhisattvas. At the monk's bath time, following the rule, they had baths. They suddenly experienced realization through the touch of the water. You reverend Zen students, do you understand their words? We experience the subtle and clear touch, have attained Buddhahood, and still retain it. You will be able to attain this condition after 7 times piercing and 8 times breaking through.
Manisha, before I discuss the anecdotes, I have to give you the background first, Buddhahood is your nature. If you are sensitive enough, you can become aware of it through any sense. Through the touch, through the taste, through the eyes, through the ears, because it is not out of you. It is only a question of deep concentration than any sense that is predominant in you will become the revelation. Remember, everybody has different senses of different intensity. Somebody can see more, only then he can become a painter. Most of the people cannot see like a painter. Somebody has ears for music. Everybody does not have. Subtler the music, deeper the sensitivity to hear will be needed. I am reminded of a great dancer, Nijinsky, who used to jump in his dances to such heights which are scientifically impossible. They go against gravitation. You can jump only to a certain limit. It was a miracle to see Nijinsky jumping beyond gravitation, as if he has become so light and free from gravitation. Even more miraculous was his coming back to the earth. If anything comes towards the earth, it comes with a force. The gravitation pulls it. You cannot hesitate and you cannot delay and postpone. It is not in your hands. If you fall from a height, it is not in your hands to go with lesser speed or more speed. There is no speedometer in your hands. But Nijinsky fell just like a feather. Showing again that gravitation is transcended. He was asked again and again, obviously, that what is the secret? And he said, don't ask me, because whenever I try, I fail. I cannot jump that height, neither I can fall like a feather. But dancing, I forget once in a while myself, and suddenly it happens. The moment I am not, the miracle. I cannot give you the secret because there is no secret in my hands. Nijinsky was not a mystic, but he was experiencing a mystical state. He was not a philosopher, hence he could not even give an explanation. He simply said in the most authentic, sincere way that there comes a moment in my dance that I don't find myself anywhere. In that state, whatever happens is not my doing. you can experience Buddhahood just by being silent. Are just by being so loving that your hands melt into love. Are by being so total in any act that your eye disappears and only isness remains. Isness is another name of Buddhahood. It is always within you. The question is, which door you are going to enter in? This anecdote says, in ancient times, there were 16 bodhisattvas at the monk's bath time. Following the rule, they had baths. They suddenly experienced realization through the touch of the water. Don't think it is just a story. If you are really alive and your touch is total, just under your own shower, you can become enlightened. This anecdote is being told by some teacher to some disciples. He says, you reverend Zen students. Naturally, it is not a dialogue between two masters. It is a conversation between a teacher and a student. We experience the subtle and clear touch, have attained Buddhahood, and still retain it. You will be able to attain this condition after 7 times piercing and 8 times breaking through. Seven times piercing means going through all your layers, which are counted as 7. Only then you can reach to your center. And you will have to do it 8 times. It is not a question why 8. It is simply the experience that unless you go 8 times piercing the 7 layers of your mind, you will not know what is your innermost being. Just today I received a scientific research survey which has astonished scientists. It will astonish anyone. The survey was done on students to check their intelligence and meanwhile there were machines detecting the activity going inside the brain. The puzzling conclusion was that less activity was shown, more intelligence was there. This was absolutely against the traditional idea. More active mind has to be more intelligent. That has been the superstition up to now, even in the eyes of science. But this survey gets rid of something which the mystic has always been saying. No mind is intelligence. Looking at the survey, you can see two things. Less activity, more intelligence. The natural conclusion will be no activity and absolute intelligence. But even the scientists who were doing the survey did not conclude the way I am concluding it. No mind means intelligence. Mind means gibberish, not intelligence. And when I am asking you for gibberish, I am simply asking you to throw the mind and all its activity out. So you remain behind, pure, clean, transparent, perceptive. The another report I have received is from an institution in America. The institute trains actors for films. The director must have read me because he forces every student in the institution to do the dynamic meditation. Kundalini meditation. and gibberish. And even those people who had come just to learn the art of acting have strangely felt a tremendous opening through gibberish. A silence from the unknown descending, and overwhelming them. Secho's commentary, the enlightened man is master of one single thing, is stretching at ease on his bed. If in a dream the ancient said they were enlightened, let them emerge from the scented water and I would spit at them. Secho's intellectuality is too much. He cannot understand. He is like a blind man commenting on light. Few footnotes. 16 bodhisattvas in the Surangama Sutra, an ancient Buddhist scripture, there is an episode in which 25 bodhisattvas relate their experiences of attaining realization. First, Kayo Chinyo and four others, the first five disciples of Buddha, stand up and describe their paths to realization. Kayo Chinyo says, as for my realization, seeing a sight was the primary cause of it. If you can really see a beautiful rose or a beautiful sunset with your totality, there is no need of any other discipline to become a Buddha. But the seeing has to be total and ultimate and unconditional. Second, Kyogan Dozi says, smelling a scent was the cause of my realization. Third, Yakuo and Yakujo sight tasting as the cause of their realization. Fourth, Badabara and the 15 other bodhisattvas in this anecdote rise and make obeisance to the Buddha, and Badabara says, we formerly heard the preaching of Ayan O, the first Buddha, and became monks, at the monk's bath time, following the rule, we enter the bathroom, we suddenly experience realization through the touch of water. We did not wash off dirt, did not wash the body, we achieved peace of mind and obtained the state of no possession. The aforementioned Buddha named me Badabara, saying, "You have experienced subtle and clear touching and attained Buddhahood and retain it. The answer to your question, therefore, is that touching was the primary cause of our realization. Other bodhisattvas in turn tell of their experiences, and finally the bodhisattva Kanan cites the importance in his case of listening to sound. All your senses are doors, and remember, a door can open outwards, and the same door can open inwards. It is the same sense with which you hear the music out, you can hear the music of your own being. The question is simply whether to go inwards or to go outwards. The door is the same. Manisha is asking, "Beloved Bhagwan, although I am not even sure what intuition is, I suspect that there is a connection between intuition and Zen. Is that so? And if it is, can intuition be triggered through any of the senses, even through thinking?" No, Manisha. Thinking is not capable of triggering intuition. Intuition, the very word, is against tuition. Tuition comes from outside. Intuition blossoms like a flower from your innermost core. Thinking cannot do it, but these bamboos can do it. This finger pointing to nothing can do it. This silence pervading here can do it. Thinking is a hindrance. It cannot trigger your innermost being. In fact, it is preventing the triggering. When you see a beautiful sunset, immediately comes the thought to prevent, it says, how beautiful, what a beautiful sunset. And it has prevented the sunset reaching and hitting your very being. If you can hear these poor bamboos without a single word arising, you have arrived home. Manisha is asking, could the intuitive flesh be a cognitive quantum leap and enlightenment a quantum leap of the being? Intuition and enlightenment are not two things. Your innermost center is your enlightenment. It is not that you become enlightened. You are enlightened, but your thinking prevents you from recognizing it. The quantum leap is needed from thinking to no thinking, from mind to no mind, from out to in, from there to here, from then to now. Before we enter into the quantum leap, the bamboos are asking for few laughs. A student demonstrating turns into a riot. Suddenly a man staggers out of the crowd carrying a limp girl in his arms. Here, shouts a cop, running up to the man, give her to me, I will get her out of this. To hell with you, replies the man, go and find one of your own. A man with a weight problem goes to see his doctor. I want to lose weight, he says, but it is no good giving me a diet. I have tried them before and they never worked. The only thing I can suggest, says Dr. Bones, is scratching his nose is a rather unusual Indian technique. Using exercise only, no diet, so you can eat anything you like, but what you have to do is have wild, passionate sexual intercourse at least 4 times a night. Okay. Come back and see me in a month. A month goes by and the patient returns. How much weight have you lost? About 2 pounds. Replies the man. And how many times did you have sex this month? Continues Bones. 15 times, replies the patient. My God, cries Bones, that is not good enough. Maybe not, replies the man, but it is pretty good for a Catholic priest in a small town. Many people have trouble understanding what a miracle is. Paddy is one of these people, and even though Father Murphy has explained the subject many times and in great detail, Paddy is still not satisfied. Father, says Paddy, perhaps you could give me an example of a miracle. All right, Patrick, says the priest, turn around. Paddy turns around and Father Murphy gives him a large boot in the backside. Now, Patrick, ask the priest, did you feel that? I certainly did, replies Paddy, rubbing his buttocks. Well, Patrick, continues Father Murphy, it would have been a miracle if you had not. A young sailor is washed ashore on an island inhabited by cannibals. Since the cannibal tribe is fasting for 1 month, the chief announces that the sailor's life will be spared if he can pass the 3 tent test. In the first tent, says the chief, there is a jug full of a strong liquor. You must drink it all. In the second tent is a lion with toothache. You must take out his sore tooth. In the third tent is a nymphomaniac. She has already exhausted 2 husbands who were trying to fulfill her needs. You must satisfy her twice. The sailor shrugs and goes into the first tent. After 5 minutes of silence, he wobbles out and goes into the second tent. There are screams and moans, and eventually he crawls out covered in cuts and bruises. Standing up, he looks around and asks, "Now where is that girl with the sore tooth?" now, Nivedana, give the first drum and everybody goes into absolute gibberish. Don't spare anything. Everybody goes into absolute silence. Just to gather your energy inwards. Close your eyes. This a thousand times this even the bamboos have become silent. Just few of them, sachos, are still giving commentary. Nivedana. Relax as if you are dead. Nivedana. Now come back from the dead. Has everybody come back to life? Okay, Manisha.
Yes, Buddha.
Thank you.
Thank you.